not challenge each other.
We want a fight.
Welcome to our Friday edition of Eagles Live, right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. First and foremost, a salute to all the veterans on this special Veterans Day. And it's also 11-11-11, November 11th, as we get ready to preview this Sunday's game between the Eagles and the Cardinals. And I'm Chris McPherson, pleased to be joined by Bo Wolf. And Bo, I guess I'll allow you to explain this jacket, which is a little snug. I do enjoy the jacket.
I think it's very sharp.
It's a little... It's a little tight. It's a little riding a little high.
The only problem is it's hot in here. So
a little hot in studio.
You're going to be sweating on the show. But
certainly that's the case.
Made a little friendly wager on the Wake Forest-Notre Dame game. Wake covered the spread, so you get to wear that jacket for the rest of the show.
And,
but it's a good-looking jacket. I think it works for you.
Certainly.
Almost as well as these ones here, my Steve Smith jersey. I think the ones are very slimming. I think it works for me.
Certainly does. We have a great show for you today. We have Eric at home from Pro Football Weekly. He's going to talk about the Pro Football Weekly All-Pro midseason team, which features Todd Harriman and Jason Babin. And he also covers the NFC East, so we're going to discuss whether the Eagles can climb back into the playoff race. We're going to talk to Ken Summers from the Arizona Republic to go behind enemy lines and find out what's the deal going on at the quarterback situation. Is it going to be Kevin Cobb? Is it going to be John Skelton? And we'll also hear from Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com to break down the fantasy matchups and who you should start in Week 10, and who are some of the guys you should get off the waiver wire. But as we go into this Sunday's game, Bo, is there any chance whatsoever, and I've asked guys this in the locker room all week, whether they could possibly overlook this game going against a 2-6 Cardinals team, one that's most likely going to start their backup quarterback, one that hasn't, you know, struggled pretty much, that has struggled for pretty much the entire season, and knowing that your season is essentially on the line 1 week from Sunday night when you go to MetLife Stadium to take on the New York Giants? Is there any chance whatsoever that they could overlook the Arizona Cardinals?
I mean, I think you could make that case if they had won last week. Then certainly they probably would be looking ahead to that Giants game and maybe looking past this Cardinals team. But coming off the loss from last week, sitting at 3-5, knowing that you really have to turn everything around in the second half, I can't imagine that they would look past this Cardinals game. They want to make up for what was a disappointing loss last week, obviously. And the other point is, listen, maybe this Eagles team is going to be a tougher game than we realize. This Eagles team has been very wishy-washy in their play. And so it's tough to say that we can count on a win because of what we've seen this season. But certainly this is a game they should win. They have more talent than the Cardinals. And I think that, you know, I think they will come out with a win.
I certainly think they come out with a win. You know, the only thing that, you know, also I'll factor in here is the fact that the Cardinals have a 2-6 record, but they've played very well the last 2 weeks.
Four losses by less than 4 points as well, so they've been a competitive team.
They scared Baltimore. Yeah. 2 weeks ago, they gave Baltimore everything they could handle before Baltimore, I think, made the greatest comeback in their franchise history to rally for the win. And then last week, it was an ugly overtime game, but Patrick Peterson.
And there's a guy you got to look out for.
99-yard walk-off overtime punt return for the victory there. A punt that he shouldn't have fielded, if you go by the laws of... And
if you're
rules,
not Patrick Peterson.
If you're not Patrick Peterson, exactly. That's one of those plays that DeSean Jackson you allowed to make.
Yeah.
But special teams there making the difference. Eagles not able to get the special teams to make a difference as Jackson had the fumble on the punt return inside the 10-yard line. And then the Chaz Henry, you know, the throw that just didn't get there.
And listen, a lot of people talking about whether that the Eagles should have called that fake punt, whether they should have relied on Chase Henry throwing the ball. That was the perfect call. It was absolutely the perfect call. It was wide open. You wait all season, several seasons for that play to be open, for that option to be there. And there it is. And it really was the perfect scenario. Down 3 points at midfield, you're going to continue driving. And, you know, if that throw is on target, Colton Anderson might have scored.
Exactly.
So I think it was a perfect call. It was just
perfect
obviously
call.
Unfortunate that Chaz Henry couldn't get the job done.
Bad execution.
Of course. So. Terrible execution.
So, by the way, I missed not doing the show with you last week. I heard you did a phenomenal job.
I was all right.
It's
a little lonely, you know? A little lonely by myself. It was a Saturday, you know? I know you had a wedding to go to, but but I missed you.
Well, it's great to be back here. We're taking your phone calls, 215-339-6709. We also have our Twitter feed, at Eagles Insider. If you have a question and can't get through to the chat, can't get through here on the phone lines, send us your questions there, and Bo and I will try to get to those as well. And we're also giving away 4 tickets.
Yes, bring your whole crew this time.
Yes, 4 tickets to Sunday's game between the Eagles and the Cardinals. Remember, it is the food drive game, so if you have any non-perishable or canned items, please bring them to the stadium this Sunday. But we are giving away 4 tickets with a simple trivia question. And I will say we're going to combine the Eagles and the fact that it's Veterans Day.
Yeah.
So we're going to do that. So we're going to do that a little bit later on in the show.
We should quickly talk about the evening we had last night.
Yes, we certainly should.
Very, very pleased and honored to be able to go to the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Wilbert Montgomery and Bill Berge both went in from the Eagles. A great event at the Sheridan Society Hill. My favorite part was when they were introducing everybody around the room who was there. Gordie Howe was there, you know, one of the greatest hockey players of all time. Pete Carroll, John Chaney, Ray Dittinger. And then they introduced Dave Spadaro from PhiladelphiaEagles.com. That was my favorite part.
That certainly was. We're sitting there at the table. We're sitting at the Eagles table. And, you know, they're calling just about, seems like, everyone from the room. And we're like, Are they going to call Dave? And then when the guy botched his name, you're just kind of like...
Dave and Gordie Howe in the same list. Gordie Howe's still got more hair, though.
Certainly. Dick Vermeil was also there and gave stirring tributes to both Wilbert and Bill. And, of course, in true Dick Vermeil fashion...
Yeah, got a little choked up.
Not he held off on Wilbert. But then when he was asked to do the introduction later on for Bill, it just flied from there. So
as expected.
But it was a great evening. The Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame is their 8th induction. They do a phenomenal job. So thank you very much for letting us be a part of that outstanding evening. So again, we're going to take your phone calls here. 215-339-6709 is the telephone number. What are some of the things, and I guess maybe we'll start on the offensive side of the ball here, that you're looking for from this team going into Sunday's matchup against the Cardinals? Because I don't think the offense played bad against the Bears, but they only scored 17 points.
Yep.
They had another red zone turnover.
Six red zone turnovers, leads the league. Next closest is 4. You can't afford to turn the ball over in the red zone. It's terrible.
No. So what are the things that you're looking for from them going into this game against Arizona, which we're going back to seeing a 3-4 defense, a team that's kind of struggled with the transition there. Some intriguing matchup, especially along the offensive line where it looks like King Dunlap,
the big man,
6'9", is going to be starting at left guard, the tallest guard in NFL history?
Probably.
I don't know if it's official, but yeah.
And he will be going up against Calais Campbell, who's a defensive end who's 6'8". So that's not too bad. He can still get low and be able to bend. But I think it's actually an easy question in terms of what I want to see from this offense. I want to see the big play in the passing game come back. We haven't seen that in weeks. And DeSean Jackson has caught, I think, 6 catches for just over 90 yards combined over the last 3 weeks. He hasn't been making those big plays, and I need to see that against a Cardinals defense that has a pretty weak secondary. I know, and we know, that LeSean McCoy is probably going to have another big day. You can pretty much count on that. He scored a touchdown in every game this season. He leads the entire league in rushing. But I think that for this offense to be hitting on all cylinders, you need DeSean and Jeremy Maclin to be making those big plays down the field.
LeSean McCoy hoping to score a touchdown in a 9th straight game, which would set the all-time franchise record. He tied it last week. Steve Van Buren had 8 straight games with a touchdown back in 1947, and Steve Van Buren's in the Hall of Fame, so McCoy quickly ascending the ranks. But it's amazing because they came out in the second half.
It's time.
There we go.
It's 11-11, 11-11-11.
Very nice.
Nice.
Happy 11-11-11.
We made it, guys.
At 11-11 to everyone out there. So certainly it's a great celebration
It's very exciting
to start the show off here. But LeSean McCoy, it was interesting to see how the Bears – I think we're the first team, and I wonder if other teams start to do this, alter how they play the Eagles' offense.
They brought 8 in the box, single high safety. They really were respecting the Eagles' run more than the pass, and certainly that's the first time we've seen that in a long time against this Eagles' offense. So it would be interesting to see if the Cardinals do that same thing and if the Eagles can take advantage with those plays down the field.
And I think it's intriguing because they made some great adjustments. They came out of the half, scored their 2 touchdowns, one of them on that nice methodical drive to get down the field. And you talk about the big plays. We didn't see it in the pass game, but after the turnover, the 33-yard touchdown there by LeSean McCoy. The great blocking by Jason Peters.
Yeah, so athletic.
Who was just playing unreal since his return from the hamstring injury. Great to see him back out there on the field. But definitely, after that performance against Dallas, where the offensive line looked cohesive and dominant, thought they took a little bit of a step back last week against Chicago, which was very physical. And again, we're loading up the box, bringing eight guys in there, keeping the linebackers close to the line of scrimmage, and basically saying they were inviting the Eagles and Michael Vick to beat them with the arm, and you were surprised that you saw so few deep pass plays.
Yeah.
Against them there.
And then the other side of the ball, the interesting question to follow from a Cardinals perspective is going to be whether Kevin Cobb is going to play or not. I'm looking forward to seeing Kevin come back. I think we can agree that we're Kevin Cobb fans. We sort of root for him, even though we want the Cardinals to have a low pick, get that nice second-round pick.
Who would you rather see at quarterback?
I'd rather see Kevin Cobb at quarterback just to watch him and us beat him. But, John Skelton's a guy who is not very mobile, tall, big arm, he's not a proven NFL starting quarterback. And, Kevin Cobb is not a proven NFL starting quarterback yet at this point either. But he's struggling with that turf toe injury. Missed last week. He hasn't practiced yet this week. So it's unlikely that he's going to play, even though we know that he really wants to.
He wants to. And he just – I feel like if it was any other team he was going against, they would have probably ruled him out at this point. But I was listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, Sal Palantonio's radio show last night. He had Ken Wisenhunt on as a guest. And Wisenhunt was saying – look, he's spending all day rehabbing, had a great workout, didn't practice. It was a workout with the trainers to try to test it, try to see if he could plan off it, move around. They're going to see what he can do this morning, and if he can go, they're going to try to put him out there. But I felt he had to have done some kind of practice. It's not other positions where you can come in on Friday, not get those reps. I mean, you're going against a new defensive scheme. You're trying to, watch the film and get ready for it. Got to get those reps on the field at quarterback. So I was surprised. I pretty much would be surprised at this point to see him suit up and play.
And we'll talk more to Kent Somers about that when we have him on to go behind enemy lines. But the other option that Ken Wisenhunt mentioned was that there's a possibility Kevin could be the backup this week. As an emergency option if Skelton gets hurt. But it'll be interesting to see. And then from this defense, listen, we need to see that pass rush come back. Zero sacks against the Bears last week. The Bears were doing a lot of max protect things, but still – this Eagles defense, the defensive line is what they hang their hat on. They got to get pressure, and this is a Cardinals offensive line that allows a lot of sacks. It should be there for the
Jason
Eagles.
Jason Babin essentially was vowing yesterday at his locker that what happened against the Bears should not happen again. Now the question is, do the Eagles blitz, which they did a little bit more of against the Bears, realizing that the front four was not going to get home going against seven-man protections all the time? So that's something that Juan Castillo has not really done a whole lot of all season, so it was kind of an adjustment to see a little bit more of that from the defense, but you wonder if you're going to see it more now, especially with the fact that you're seeing teams that might look at the tape and say, in a copycat league, hey, if you can max protect and get three guys out on routes and beat the Eagles that way, maybe they'll be able to try to do that again.
Yeah, and then the secondary, obviously, we need to see that they can bounce back as well. Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, an interesting game for him going up against an Arizona Cardinals team that he went to the Pro Bowl with. And you talked to Dominic. What were his thoughts heading into this
week? He was a first-round pick of the Cardinals, 16th overall. Was with them in that 2008 NFC Championship game. And actually, I asked him what did he recall from that game because DeSean Jackson burned him for a big touchdown in that contest, which I believe – I can't remember if it tied or gave the Eagles the lead briefly – but he says ever since he's come back to Philadelphia, he's been reminded of that big play. So he kind of didn't want to talk about it. But he has a chip on his shoulder. He knows, the Cardinals realize what he could do on the field. But he just wants to, I think, take it to him just a little bit. You always get a little bit more juiced up to go against your former team. And I think this is going to be no exception. But I think it's going to be sort of double motivation because he's coming off that poor performance against the Bears. And he's adjusting to that slot role. It's something that Hoselio Hansen will tell you, it's not something you can just kind of get thrown in there and do. But Juan Castillo backed him up during his press conference yesterday, didn't indicate that they were going to make any changes there at the position. So, it would be great to see Dominic get his first interception as an Eagle, which I'm surprised we haven't seen yet, come against his former team on Sunday.
Absolutely. Now, we'll take your calls on the other side of this break here. But before we do that, we want to talk about, we like to think about, what are the chances that the Eagles make the playoffs? Well, one analyst from NFL Network, Sterling Sharp, thinks it's a pretty good chance.
We're optimistic. We are very optimistic.
Even we are not this optimistic. Check out what he had to say.
Look at this Eagles team that is now 3-5. What are the odds that they're going to be able to make the playoffs?
I like this Eagles team. I'm going to put the odds at 80%. I think 80%. The Philadelphia. I'm going to say 80%.
80%.
This is my time to talk. Hold on, young man.
80%.
When I look at the Philadelphia Eagles, I think, you know what? I know what they are. They're a fast team. They live on big plays. Defensively, that wide nine technique, feast or famine. But offensively is where this team hangs their hats, which tells me if Michael Vick stops turning the football over in the red zone, 12 turnovers, 5 of them in the red zone, that equates to points. Where's DeSean Jackson been in the last 3 games? 3 games, only 8 catches, only 1 catch of 20 yards or more. This tells me that they got their running game figured out, number one running football team in football. If they can find DeSean Jackson, get him back in this lineup, playing like he should be playing, I like the Philadelphia Eagles. 80% chance
80%,
they make it. 80% chance.
I one shot today.
That's because I wasn't drinking.
I think I know who the Eagles are as well, and they're 3-5 the last I looked. So I'm going to drop that way down. I'm going to say maybe a 10% chance. You know, I look at the two wild card teams right now. The Detroit Lions, I like them with 6 wins right now. I think they at least finish at worst with 9 wins. I look at the Chicago Bears. Love the way that they're playing right now. I believe they also will finish with at least 9 wins. So I give them a 10% chance, but my 10% chance, Jay, is for them to actually win this division. When you look at the schedule of the New York Giants, extremely tough, and they've set themselves up, you know, for that last half run, but it's a tough schedule.
Here's the thing. I just think that they've dug themselves into too big of a hole. 80%.
80%.
You know what? The Eagles are not a team I want to play right now, because I do think they're starting to gel, but I think it's too late. That's the problem. They're sitting there at 3-5. Easy schedule, but I do like 2 teams from the NFC South. I like 2 teams
other
over there
than
for
the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers. What other team are you going to hang your hat on to win their division
now? No. You know, I like to say I do. Look, I like the Saints or the Falcons. I think the other team goes to the playoffs. I think the Bears right now are a stronger team.
Really?
Oh, I do. Yes, not 80%, but I wouldn't want to face the Eagles right now because they could beat you. It's not like they've lost to. A bunch of bad teams. They haven't. They've lost to good teams. I wouldn't want to face them, but I don't think they made the playoffs. No. The hole is just too big.
Kurt, 80% chance they make 80%.
I will never go to Vegas.
We're all teammates. Remember that. We're all teammates.
Okay, I'm going to have to lean in this direction.
Okay, and you know what? You know, it's interesting, Kurt. You were actually even being fair because since this current playoff format back in 1990, 3-5 teams have made it. 5%.
5%. I just scribbled that out.
I didn't find the 80% you were looking
for. I just scribbled that out.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day. Grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it. Snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, wife of Eagles head coach Andy Reed. And we're the Eagles Women's Association. Each year for many families, Thanksgiving means football and lots of food. But as the Eagles family joins together, some families will be less fortunate. To help fight hunger in our area, the Eagles Women's Association is teaming up with the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive, benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for November 13th when the Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals. We're asking fans to bring non-perishable foods to the Cardinals game and drop them in collection bins on their way into the stadium. Thanks to everyone who donated last year. And let's try to make this year's collection, everyone,
the best yet!
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why? Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line. Where are you going? Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our postgame show presented by Rico.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're here in the Xfinity studio as we're previewing Sunday's game between the Eagles and the Cardinals, which... Are you getting tired of the must-win label? It's funny because we keep saying must-win, 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 but obviously they didn't win on Monday night, so couldn't have been that important.
Well, if you've got an 80% chance of making the playoffs, how could it be a must-win, you know?
I mean, the thing is, for them to have hopes of making the playoffs at this point, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility.
No, but they will absolutely need to win next week.
Yes.
That is it. They could even lose this week and win next week and still have a chance because of the division. But
yeah.
Obviously, this is a must-win.
I mean,
you got to win it.
You got to win this one, though. Yeah.
Next week is – that's it.
Exactly. Because you would lose a tiebreaker there. So it's like you're already three back right now.
Right.
You know, that means you would basically be four
you'd
back.
You'd be five back, basically.
And you're pulling for the Niners this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That's a problem. That's why I can't agree with an 80% because you just don't control your own destiny.
No.
And that's what's out of your hands at this point. So it's very feasible.
But the Giants do still have that very difficult schedule.
Yes.
At San Francisco, Eagles next week, then they play the Packers at home, go
Saints.
To New Orleans, go to Dallas, I think. It's pretty tough.
There will
be losses on the Giants'
there
schedule.
There will be losses.
Yes. And so the Eagles will have chances, but... Obviously, they have to do their part. They got to do something like 7-1 over these last
games.
The
margin for error is gone.
Yes.
For them at this point. That's the main thing with the team at this point is, you know, another thing that gets sort of tiring is hearing players about, well, now we're in that playoff mentality. And it's like, you pretty much should have been in the playoff mentality really coming off the bye week.
Yep.
At this point.
And I think they said that too. So
yes, that's the thing. That they said that and you know, everything was all great. And that's what's so insane about the league. It's so week to week where after the Dallas game, everyone's high firing and celebrating and thinking of all the great things ahead. Then you have that Bears game and you're just like, we revisit everything that happened that was plaguing the team early in the season.
Turnovers. So. Turnovers in the red zone, not stopping the run. Although even though Forte ran for 130 yards, I actually thought they did an okay job against him. There were a couple bigger runs.
He gashed him on the opening drive.
My biggest problem was the
third down
coverage. Third downs,
third
lots of third
down.
And longs they
exactly.
gave up. And the Bears, because they were max protecting, they were only sending three guys out on routes most of the time, and they were still two guys open on most plays.
Coverage breakdowns.
Yeah.
And that's the most frustrating thing because you look at this team and you say to yourself, well, what's the strongest part of that defense? You would think the cornerbacks, having the three Pro Bowl guys out there on the field. So... disappointing to say it, but seeing Brian Roll, I'm going to go with a little positive light right here. Brian Roll having the strip and the return for a touchdown. I believe he fits with six tackles on the game, made some key stops. Overall, I think he's one of the bright spots on this defense right now and one of the guys that you can build around moving ahead.
Yeah, and I think Jamar Chaney has continued to play well. Didn't play quite as well against the Bears as he did against the Cowboys, but I think he continues to take that mantle. And as the leader of the defense, guys have talked about him being the leader of that huddle. I think the linebackers, after so much consternation and complaints about them early in the season, I think they've played okay. They've continued to get better. And, there are just some things fundamentally wrong with this defense right now that they need to fix if they're going to make a run in the second half.
It's consistency. There's times when the defense has looked very, very good, but the thing is you're going to need to see it on a consistent basis for these final eight games of the season. That's the one thing that you're hoping to see out of this defense. And you're going to have probably some change there in the secondary as Nate Allen will most likely not be able to go. I do not know if he's been cleared to return for practice today. He was not as of yesterday, did not participate in practice.
And we'll hear from Andy Reid at 1 o'clock joins us, as he always does on Friday.
But Jaquan Jarrett, who I thought played well.
I thought so,
too. Made some solid tackles in his stead coming out there early in the game, played most of the game. I think he had six tackles himself in the contest as well. I know he's been preparing and getting himself ready to be put in that starting lineup. There was even some discussion about whether he was going to have a chance to crack the starting lineup a couple weeks ago, but Kirk Coleman's played strong and kind of has locked down the position once again after he got benched. What are you hoping to see out of Jarrett, the rookie out of Temple, second-round pick, making most likely will be his first start at the same place where he made all of his great college starts?
I want to see, first of all, the book on him is that he was a very good tackler, so I want to see him make those tackles, not make those mistakes. And then, you know, I don't need to see him pick balls off. I just need to see him not allow anybody to get behind him and just play solid defense for a rookie in his first start. We talked about this earlier, and it's an interesting question. If Jarrett goes out there and lights the world on fire and shows that maybe he should start for the rest of the season, what do you do when Nate Allen comes back? Do you play Allen over Coleman after Coleman played so well against the Redskins? I think you do, because I think that Allen and Jarrett are the safeties of the future. You know, they were both drafted in the second round for a reason. And it's too bad for Kirk Coleman. And it's nice to have a solid third safety that you can rely on. But I think that if Jarrett shows that he's ready for prime time, you let him and Allen go out there and work on their chemistry.
We had thought, I think going back to really the draft when he was selected, I think there was a lot of talk that Allen and Jarrett, were mostly going to be your starting safeties going into the season. Now, Kirk Coleman just played so well training camp preseason. Jarrett was taking the time to develop, wasn't quite ready for the spotlight yet. Well, if he is now, I know that Coleman had that great three-pick game against the Redskins, but like you said, I think the Eagles envisioned Allen and Jarrett being the safety tandem for the future, and I don't see any reason why you wouldn't start now if it looks like that Jarrett is ready to go.
Now, the guy they're going to be going up against most likely is John Skelton, the second-year quarterback out of Fordham, and we don't know too much about him, so we turn to our guys in the film room, Adam Kaplan and Greg Cosell, to give us the scouting report on the big guy, Skelton, the Cardinals' backup quarterback.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of The Film Room. I'm Adam Kaplan. Alongside me, as always, NFL Film Scene Producer, the guy we call the professor of the coaching tape, Senior Producer from NFL Films, Greg Cosell. And Greg, this week, the Arizona Cardinals will invade Lincoln Financial Stadium, coming off a great win against the visiting St. Louis Rams. And what a crazy game for John Skelton, the second-year quarterback from Fordham. He had an up-and-down game, made some plays. I remember seeing him at Fordham a couple years ago.
Sure.
You saw his coaching tape from last week, and you've studied him. What have you seen?
Well, it's funny because last year, I think he started four games, if memory serves me correctly, and he was very, very up and down. He was inaccurate. He missed throws. He didn't see the field well. And it's funny that then watching him last week against the Rams in his first start since last year with no real offseason, he was a much better player. He was still a little up and down, as you would expect. But he made some big third down throws in long yardage situations, and you don't normally expect that out of a young quarterback. And I want to show you this first play. This was third and 14. And this play is designed anticipating the coverage. This is against the Rams, who in long yardage have a strong tendency to play what we call Tampa 2, where the two deep safeties will split the field. The middle linebacker, James Laurinaitis, will drop back as the middle hole player, as we like to say. That's Tampa 2. So this play was designed to attack it. You'll see that the slot receiver will run and cross the face of Laurinaitis, forcing Laurinaitis to have to respond to him. Right. So what that does now is it creates a void right here for Andre Roberts. This is the void in the coverage. This is where they want the ball to go. And John Skelton is looking there because that's the design of the play. And this is a very good throw.
Oh, that's a stick throw, right?
It's a tight window throw. And you know me well enough, Adam, to know that one of the things I like about a throw like this is the willingness to make it. Not a lot of guys are willing to make stick throws into tight windows. Mm. But look at Skelton drop back. He's not staring this down. He's looking down the middle, which is exactly what you should be doing. You don't want to tip off where you're throwing the ball to the defense. You know, but you don't want them to know. That's a big-time NFL throw, and this kid can make big throws. Now it's 3rd and 14, and you know what you're going to get here, Adam? What we like to call a corner cat. This is basically a zone blitz concept using the corner as one of the blitzers, and we call that a corner cat. Now, this is almost always done from the short side of the field, or what we call the boundary, because it's too far to come if you come from the wide side. Imagine if this guy up top came, you know, that's like a 100-meter dash.
Right,
he's never going to get there. Now, that's in tandem with another player, so they're trying to overload the protection to this side. So what normally happens when you do that, as we often see, you're going to see a defensive lineman drop into coverage. Now, this is a three-receiver side. This is a tough deal for the defense right now, because essentially you're playing three on three. It's a zone concept, but it's three over three, and one of those three is a defensive lineman. But you know what? The quarterback, Skelton, still has to read all this. It's easy with her going back and forth and watching plays 10 times. I'm really smart.
Right.
He's got to see all this in about 2.1 seconds, and he does. And he throws it to the right receiver, early Doucette.
Another good throw.
And by the way, he gets hit pretty much right as he delivers the football due to the pressure. He feels that. When you're a quarterback, you feel that pressure. But notice he never took his eye off the target. He stepped into the throw. The pressure had no effect on this throw. So while John Skelton is clearly a young quarterback and an inexperienced quarterback, and I think if he's pressured early and often, you might see a different player, the fact remains that when I watched the tape of his game against the Rams, there was a lot to like about John Skelton. There was some potential there. Yes, he was up and down. That's to be expected. But for the most part, he played a very solid game, and as you just saw, made some big-time throws.
Great stuff, Greg, as always. As you saw there, John Skelton did a great job, so if Kevin Cobb can't play, John Skelton's going to give the Eagles a lot on their hands. For Greg Cosell, I'm Adam Kaplan.
You can say that I like things fast, not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
John's, the official pizza of the Philadelphia Eagles, asks, are you ready for some football and pizza? Starting in preseason every Tuesday after a game, get a large Papa John's pizza for just $8.99. For every touchdown the Eagles score, you get a free topping. Double the toppings with an Eagles victory. How many toppings, I mean touchdowns, will they score? You score when the Eagles score. Your Papa John's pizza is just $8.99 every Tuesday throughout the season. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's. Tuesdays are Eagles days at Papa John's.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Hi everyone, I'm Eagles cheerleader Kat, and I'm here to talk about my favorite high school sports moment. My favorite moment was actually my senior year of high school, and it was at a football game. We were all cheering, and our team was actually down by 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and everyone was very discouraged. It was pretty upsetting, and all of a sudden it just started to pour rain. And you would think that we would all be more upset and more distraught about it, but it actually pumped everybody up, and we ended up winning by 2 points. And it just goes to show that it doesn't have to be a large game, it doesn't even have to be about winning, but the smallest thing can really pump up your team, and it Every time I think about it, it reminds me of how important school spirit is. I encourage you to go on to philadelphiaeagles.com/rally and talk about your favorite high school sports moment. You could win an Eagles-themed pep rally for your high school with appearances from Swoop, Eagles alumni, and of course, the Eagles cheerleaders.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. It's time for our weekly Fantasy Spin segment with Joe Dolan from FantasyGuru.com. And Joe, let's get right into this Eagles-Cardinals matchup. Michael Vick is ranked number 3 among all quarterbacks according to FantasyGuru.com's projections for Week 10. Do you think that Vick is going to light up against the Arizona defense?
Chris, and you know, even though Patrick Peterson has been improving recently, the Cardinals really have nobody else in their secondary. They've had a revolving door of suck at their other quarterback spot with A.J. Jefferson, Richard Marshall, whoever else they've been trying out at that spot after Greg Tolbert got hurt. I would think Andy Reid is going to want to spread it out, and I think they're going to want to attack the Cardinals down the field. And Michael Vick, despite a couple of throws that obviously highlighted the Eagles' loss against the Bears last week, I thought he threw the ball relatively well in general, even though he wasn't nearly as sharp as he was against the Cowboys. I think he's getting into a groove, and obviously this is a matchup where you would expect him to go off. The Cardinals don't have much of a pass rush, even though they've been getting their young pass rusher Sam Acho and O'Brien Schofield more involved. I would still expect this to be a game where Michael Vick could put up huge numbers.
Joe, you talked about that porous Cardinals secondary. DeSean Jackson, is this the week where he finally makes those big plays that we expect over the last three games? I think only combined for 6 catches for less than 100 yards. He needs to get those big plays. Do you think we see it this week?
I think this is a matchup he should get them, but even though teams have been rolling coverage over the top to him, I think he's having difficulty beating man off the line of scrimmage. And if Patrick Peterson is covering him, I would not be surprised to see DeSean Jackson have another 3 catches for 50-yard gain. It's just impossible to predict at this point. And if you're getting frustrated with them and you've got somebody who's consistently putting up numbers on your bench, if you want to sit them, I don't know if I can argue against that. That said, this was probably not the week you're going to want to sit him because the Cardinals have had trouble defending big plays all year.
Jeremy Maclin is actually ranked number 5 among all receivers according to FantasyGuru.com's projections. Let's look at some of the waiver wire pickups for Week 10, Joe. At the top of the list, Roy Helu from the Washington Redskins. Just go through some of the other guys that fantasy owners should try to get off the waiver wire at this point as they're trying to set their matchups for this weekend.
Obviously, Chris, Roy Helu, you mentioned, I'll talk about him briefly. I'm not particularly impressed by him, but the Washington Redskins are in complete evaluation mode right now. They're starting Leonard Hankerson at wide receiver. Helu is in the backfield. Ryan Terrain got like 1 carry last week. So at this point, if you want volume and a guy who catches passes, Roy Helu is a guy who's interesting. 2 other guys I wanted to highlight. Number 1, Earl Bennett, and Eagles fans should obviously know, I'm sorry to bring up bad memories, what happened on Monday night with Earl Bennett. He's Jay Cutler's best friend, which I think has a little bit of validity. They played together at Vanderbilt. Cutler trusts him in big spots. So if you need a guy who can catch passes, Earl Bennett should be able to do that for you. And the guy that I'm particularly intrigued by right now is Laurent Robinson, the wide receiver in Dallas. Miles Austin could be out up to a month, and Laurent Robinson has scored in 2 consecutive games. Now, he scored on a kind of a fluky, broken coverage play against the Eagles a couple weeks ago, but he has always been a talented player who has never been able to take the next step because of injuries. I think it's kind of funny that an injury to Miles Austin is now giving Laurent Robinson his chance to perform in a pretty good offense. So those are three guys that I'd attack on the waiver wire right now if for some reason they still have not been picked up.
Joe, we're coming up on the trade deadline in most fantasy leagues, and not to get ahead of yourself, but if you're in a position where you think you're going to be in the playoffs, are there any guys or teams that you should target that have favorable schedules come playoff time?
You know, actually, you know, what I've been focusing on more recently, because the teams have been changing so much, we talked about this actually on Eagles Nightly earlier this week. Defenses just kind of rise to the occasion some weeks, and they don't other weeks. We thought the Oakland Raiders were going to have a great time against Tim Tebow. Well, the Broncos had a perfect game plan that the Raiders were not ready for. So what I'm looking for is kind of guys who might be undervalued at this point, and then guys who might be overvalued for the playoff stretch. Two guys that really stand out to me, Darren McFadden of the Raiders. Now, we know what Michael Bush has done, but I also saw what happened in last night's game with the San Diego Chargers, where Michael Bush took a screen pass about 50 yards, Darren McFadden would have been gone. And right now, if a Darren McFadden owner is concerned about Michael Bush's involvement in the offense, he might be willing to sell low on McFadden, and you could end up getting a guy who could carry you through the playoff weeks. The Raiders are in first place, so they're obviously going to want to get Darren McFadden back at full strength. Andre Johnson's another guy who I think will be ready to come back by week 12. The Texans are off in week 11. They have a game this week. I'm going to say Andre Johnson's not going to play this week. He's going to get two more weeks to rest that hamstring. He said he's feeling better already. And they have week 15 and 16 matchups with the Panthers and the Colts, two teams who have not been able to shut down opposing offenses all year. On the flip side, if you look at a guy like Steven Jackson, Jackson has been awesome the last couple weeks and really the only bright spot for the St. Louis Rams. But in weeks 13 through 16, he has games with the 49ers, the Seahawks, the Bengals, and the Steelers, all four of whom have been really good defensively this year. So if you've got Steven Jackson, I would be willing to sell high on him right now to try to improve your prospects for the playoffs.
Joe Doan from FantasyGuru.com. Great analysis, as always. Thank you very much for joining us here in the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
You can say that I like things fast. Not because my supercar shoots the planes, but because I have Xfinity Internet. With all the laptops, smartphones, and tablets, I need more speed than ever.
Call now for a great offer on Xfinity Internet.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reed, wife of Eagles head coach Andy Reed.
And we're the Eagles Women's Association.
Each year for many families, Thanksgiving means football and lots of food. But as the Eagles family joins together, some families will be less fortunate. To help fight hunger in our area, the Eagles Women's Association is teaming up with the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive, benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for November 13th, when the Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals. We're asking fans to bring non-perishable foods to the Cardinals game and drop them in collection bins on their way into the stadium. Thanks to everyone who donated last year. And let's try to make this year's collection, everyone,
the
the best yet.
Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. You know, I feel like I'm going back in time a little bit with this jacket. I feel like I'm back in the vet.
You need a DeLorean.
You know? Seriously. I could take off with these wings.
I think so. It's
right
a pretty
here.
Impressive jacket.
I appreciate that, man.
It looks good on you.
Do you think the merchandise people might let me get one my size? This one's a little bunchy here, but you think
I think they need to worry about whether you're just going to run off with that one.
That's a possibility. You never know. Holidays are coming up.
Mitchell and Ness.
Holidays are coming up, all right? I got to get some gifts here. So
get your Steve Smith jerseys.
Certainly. I would love to see him get involved. That's one of the most befuddling things about this football team. And here's why more so than ever with Steve Smith. Because the way the Eagles offense has orchestrated itself in the past couple of games, they've been taking advantage of the middle of the field, short intermediate routes. That screams to me Steve Smith's forte. That should be his game. That should be the reason that he's in there. And people are like, well, who would you take out? I'm like, you know, if you put him, get him in the slot with Avant, I understand the Eagles have been running a lot of the two tight end sets.
Well, yeah, Celek,
season.
I think, has been
Celek,
the guy
Celek
who's
would be great.
There.
And I'm just saying that's an area where I think they could possibly utilize him.
Yeah, I don't really begrudge them for not using him very much. Avant's been good. Celek's been good. And they have used those two tight end sets. Clay Harbor utilized as a blocker as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, Steve Smith is a guy that they still have in their back pocket, but I don't think they need to force anything with him.
No.
The offense is working fine aside from the turnovers.
Yeah, offense has been very, very good. You can argue that maybe this was their worst performance.
Probably.
Of the season. I know it was in terms of yards. It was the first time that they... It was, if I'm correct, didn't get 400 yards for the first time.
Yeah, and they weren't.
The first time they
were
outgained.
Yeah,
that's the big.
And they weren't great against the Giants offensively, but you know, I think they'll be all right.
But still,
third in the league right now in yards, but first in rushing still.
End of the game, had the chance. That's what's frustrating about that game, or anything else. For all the ups and downs that happened,
and if Michael Vick just hits Jeremy Macklin in stride, who knows what happens?
Of course. Well, yeah, at least has a first.
Well, they get the first.
At least he
knows what happens after that.
So very, very frustrating. But
Let's talk about those 11s.
Certainly.
On this November 11th, 2011. Let's take a look at the most famous 11s in Eagles history. Not too many standouts.
Not too many.
You've got
to go back
like
in time.
Norm Van Brocklin, I think, probably against the number one spot.
Bobby Thomason up there as well.
Yeah, a couple quarterbacks there. Tommy Thompson, Tim Hasselbeck, Jeff Blake. Jeremy Bloom, you know. High expectations. Maybe he gets the number two spot as the most prominent 11.
What's amazing about Jeremy Bloom, I was thinking about this before the show, is that in terms of production to jersey sale ratio, would be the most off of all time, where people were in love with Bloom. I mean, he was the Olympic skier. He was the model. The Eagles used a fifth or sixth round pick on him. I forget which one it was exactly. Thinking that he could be the guy that kind of jumpstarts the return game. And I was excited when they picked him because I figured, oh, he was great at Colorado. He had been out of football for a couple of years. But if you saw the film of what he did with the Buffaloes, you figured if he can do that and help the return game out, because the Eagles were looking for a dynamic return to move on from like the Reno Mahe years at that point. So, but all the women bought the jerseys. They had the pink number 11s that were selling out in the pro shops. And he just didn't have it.
Yeah, Colorado product, loves skiing, reminds you a little bit of a young Sam Hallowell, except that he unfortunately probably had about as productive an NFL career as Sam Hallowell.
That's a good one right there. So as we're continuing to preview this other game, now we're also going to give away tickets. Again,
four tickets, so this is a big one. You get to bring your whole crew.
And it is Veterans Day, so again, we're going to tie in the whole Veterans Day Eagles theme here, and it's going to be a former great. So make sure to keep that in mind as well. Ask the question a little bit later in the show.
Not too tough. You'll be able to guess it, I think.
And in a couple minutes, we're also going to bring on Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly to talk about his midseason All-Pro team. And also, he's going to give us a look around the NFC East. We're going to talk to Ken Summers from the Arizona Republic, who's going to take us behind enemy lines to let us know what's going on at the quarterback situation and how the Cardinals are preparing for this matchup. So still a lot of great stuff to come right here on Eagles Live.
Absolutely.
As we remember, if you want to phone in, now's a good time, 215-339-6709. If you want to shoot us a question on Twitter, you can hit us at Eagles Insider as well.
We actually do have a call right now. Mike from Texas. What's going on, Mike?
What's up, Mike?
Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on? A longtime Eagles fan. I'm just proud to be an Eagles fan. I'm just trying to tell the Eagles fans, don't give up hope. This team's going to just take a little time to gel. And we're going to be fine. We're just going to take a little time. Don't give up the ship. And we'll win this Sunday against the Cardinals.
I certainly hope they win this Sunday. Mike, what are your reasons for optimism moving ahead?
Because we always have good defense and good offense. But now we have both of them together. And we'll just be able to just let the team gel together, and it'll be okay. We'll get there. We'll probably finish about. I think we'll finish about 10-6.
I'll sign up for that right now.
Lucky. Of course,
you know.
I just hope that the 10-6 comes with the key wins against the Giants and all the division rivals, which you need. I mean,
I think 10-6 wins this division.
Yeah, that's what I you it's know I can't stand the Cowboys, even though I live in Texas. I'm just happy to be an Eagles fan now. When we beat them up real good in Texas, when we beat them up there at the link, I just wanted to see one. If I ever get back to Philly, you know, I want to just go to the link one time and watch my boys play.
Now, are you from Philadelphia originally, Mike?
Yes, sir. Born and raised.
And what took you out to Texas?
Oh, just military service.
Oh, well, then.
Well, thank you for your
service,
Mike.
Thank you very much. It's great to hear from you on this Veterans Day, first and foremost there.
Yeah, appreciate it.
So, Mike, do you have a prediction for the game coming up this Sunday?
Eagles in a rout.
What we need to hear. What do you have a score?
Okay, I will say 35-7.
I will take that again in a heartbeat right
Mike,
there.
Mike, what branch of the military?
U.S. Navy.
What was that?
Navy.
Oh,
United States Navy.
Well, once again, thank you so much for your service, and I hope you have a great Veterans Day.
We salute you on this Veterans Day, Mike. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. Y'all have a blessed day.
You too.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Great to hear from the veterans on this Veterans Day. I just hope that the Eagles get off to a fast start. That, I mean, I'm trying, what's the atmosphere going to be like in the stadium? I think the fans are going to, at a point where they're going to be like, you guys show me something.
Yeah.
You know, they came Monday night, fresh off the Cowboys game. They were pumped up. The great alumni
tribute. The
crowd
was awesome.
Crowd wanted to eat the Bears alive. Okay. Now, it's great. We haven't even mentioned this. Randall Cunningham will be in the house this Sunday. He'll be the honorary captain. He'll be saluted at halftime. Longtime great Eagles quarterback, one of the most electrifying players. What was great on Twitter was once the announcement was made, so many people responded, Randall is a reason I'm an Eagles fan today. He was one of those transformative players where you just had to watch him. He was so much fun to watch, like a video game character, the king of Tecmo Bowl, pretty much. You know, that's the type of player that just generates fans from all over the place. So.
And if he was our punter last week, we probably would have converted that fake.
Mm, that would have been a good one.
Yeah. All right, back to the phone lines now. We have Myron from Kansas City. What's going on, Myron?
What's up, Myron?
Hey, what's up, Chris? What's up, Bo?
Good to hear from you, Myron.
Not much. Good to have you.
Oh, man. I haven't had a chance to. I haven't caught up with him. I talked to Dave a couple of times last week, but I didn't get a chance to call in after our debacle.
you need those couple days to just kind of let it sit, let it get out of your system?
I'm going to tell you right now, I was so god-awful upset because it was such a just discouraging, you know, just how it all played out. Even as bad as we played, still should have won.
That's what's frustrating about it. That is, of course, just to see the result overall. Again, you came off one of the just most complete performances from an Eagles team in quite some time. I mean, you look at that offense, a lot of people will say that Monday night game last year that Michael Vick had was one of the greatest games you'll ever see. I thought last week's was just so impressive because he completed 75% of his passes. He just methodically beat the Cowboys up and down the field. It was a great game plan, great play
calling
from Shady.
And that's just the thing. They can do that almost, to me, anytime they get ready to do it. And even if you look at people on NFL Network, you look at all the analysts, they'll sit here and say right now, even at 3-5, they are the most explosive team in the league. They are the most, the fastest team. They're this and they're that. And we all see it, you know, and me being born and bred and raised an Eagles fan, you know, passing on to my son, you know, it's just generational about how we feel about this team. But it seems like they don't feel that way about themselves. You know, you're a lot closer to them than I am. So, I mean, maybe you could tell me something.
I keep feeling like that they do. The thing with the offense for me last week was I think they were just caught off guard by the way the Bears approached them. Bears are typically not a blitzing defense. They blitz a lot more than usual. Typically,
right.
The Bears like to use that Tampa 2, that cover 2 look. They were using a cover 3 with the single high safety. They were loading 8 in the box. They were trying to take away LeSean McCoy in the ground game. I think it was just they just did not play the way, and this happens with this Eagles offense where teams will show you one thing on film throughout the course of the season, but they will completely alter their game plan for the
right.
Eagles, and it took time, as you saw, to adjust because they came out in the second half and scored touchdowns on their first two drives.
Right, right. And that's what I'm saying. They still have the ability to make the adjustments. I say that Vic still made a good throw to Macklin. I think that one, I won't say it was overthrown. I think it was a momentum catch to where he should have got that first down. But there was a lot of drop balls, and people are talking about DJ's fumble. That one didn't crush us. It didn't help.
No.
But we still came out and made that run to where we still had, and that's been like what, 4 games at least.
4 losses
off the top of my head.
Now it's 4.
Yeah,
4 of the 5 losses they've led in the
exactly.
fourth quarter.
So in reality, we should be sitting on top of the pile, you know, getting ready to rest starters here in a few weeks, you know. But it's all good. I think, you know, I think Arizona's overmatched. We'll handle them. Not only are we better than them, but we have to. So there it is.
I hope so.
We've been in have to situations. I'm not really that concerned about. It's not so much the Jets. I mean, it's not so much the. I think the Patriots. That's going to probably be 75-70 because their defense is just god awful. You know, but Henry will win on a field goal. It'll be 73-70 a final.
That's fine.
But
I'll take it.
And I also believe that we'll beat New York, but the Giants are traditionally they're scared of us, but I don't really think they are as much. So I think we just flip flop what they do to people, we'll just do to them. We'll show them one thing, and then we'll give them something totally different on game day. Either way it goes, I think we should be able to make this run and be all right.
I hope so, Myron.
You got a prediction, Myron?
Yeah, I'm gonna say welcome home, Kevin. We get them. 27-17. Beanie Wells has a big day, but we get the win decisively.
I'll take a W.
Sounds good, Myron.
Thanks for the
Thank
call,
you
Myron.
For the phone call. We greatly appreciate it. The thing about I'm going to look ahead for a moment just to talk about the Giants game. Giants have, quite honestly, they've outplayed the Eagles in for the better part of the last 3 games. The thing is, you had the amazing 4th down LeSean McCoy touchdown in the first meeting last
right.
season. You had the miracle to MetLife, new
Meadowlands.
They
certainly outplayed the Eagles for the first 3 quarters. Yeah.
Yeah. And even in the last game, the game earlier this season, you know, even though the Eagles did lead in the fourth quarter, the Giants were pretty much the better team throughout the course of the game. It was the Eagles were able to get the lead for a brief amount of time, and then you had Mike Kafka come in, interceptions, and things just fell apart from there.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, the onus is on the Eagles to step up and win that
yes.
game. But let's take care of business this week first.
Of
get
course.
The Cardinals, and then we'll have all next week to talk about the Giants. But for now, we'll take a quick commercial break, and on the other side, we're going to talk to Eric Edholm from Pro Football Weekly and find out which 2 Eagles made his first half All-Pro list.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world.
That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job they're backed by the super guarantee? Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and we're now pleased to be joined inside the studio by Eric Edholm, the senior writer for Pro Football Weekly. And Eric, the first thing that we want to touch upon here is the Pro Football Weekly All-Pro midseason team, and two Eagles were on the list. And I'll start with the one that is probably a little bit more obvious for Eagles fans, defensive end Jason Babin. Why did he make your list?
Yeah, I mean, I just think he's provided exactly what the Eagles thought, and obviously he's a little bit of a different player than when they last saw him. Different scheme, using him in different ways. I know the Y-9 alignment has been highly criticized in your parts, but I think it suits him exactly, and Jim Washburn knew what he was getting. He knew he was getting a terrific rusher, a high-energy guy, a high-motor guy, and he's produced. I mean, is the run defense exactly the way they want it? No, but I think as a pass rusher, he and Jared Allen were our top two ends.
And then you flip to the other side of the line of scrimmage, Eric, and Todd Harriman's is a guy who you put on the All-Pro list. Now, he's a guy who Eagles fans have known for the past few years and have been very pleased with his play at the guard position, but he's showing his versatility playing tackle, and you say that he's playing right tackle as well as anybody in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it was a hotly debated spot. You know, David, we wanted to pick a left tackle, left guard, a center, right guard, right tackle, et cetera. So I know some All-Pro teams will just put two left tackles, two left guards, what have you. We wanted to make sure we found the right guy at the right spot. And, again, I know the offensive line has been a spot that's had its troubles at times. But just watching Harriman's, with the exception of a few plays, and everybody's going to have their down moments, I thought he's played very well. Like you said, the versatility, he's played left tackle, left guard. He could pretty much play any spot in the long line except center, I'm guessing. And, you know, I would say he was he just edged out David Stewart of the Titans, a guy that a lot of people don't know, but another physical blocker.
Eric, you're in Chicago, so I'm sure you've heard the talk of the Bears' big win back on Monday night. What was it that the Bears did to the Eagles? And I'll start with the Bears' defense against the Eagles' offense that was able to stymie them throughout the course of the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the two Forte fumbles, that's kind of unlike him, and it seems a little strange to say that the Bears made fewer mistakes, but they really, in crunch time, did. I mean, I should say. I thought the execution was better defensively. You know, they kept everything in front of them, took Deshaun Jackson out of the game. And frankly, they took advantage of some Eagles' mistakes, drop passes, penalties when they least could afford them, things like that. You know, they did a good job on McCoy for the most part. You know, most teams have struggled to contain him. I thought they did a nice job of keeping him hemmed in. And you know, there's a formula people have followed, and the Bears, that Tampa 2 defense, they use a lot, although I did see them use some man defense too. So that was interesting to note.
Eric, it's been an up-and-down season, not only for the Eagles, of course, but for Michael Vick as well. He's been still this spectacular and electric player, but he's had too many turnovers, certainly many more than last year. What's your feeling on where he ranks among the quarterbacks in the National Football League? in terms of a guy that you want to run your offense?
I mean, I still think he's elite. I really do. I think there are times when Michael tries to do too much, and I think he has the ability, unlike almost any quarterback in the league. I mean, I would say Aaron Rodgers clearly is playing the best of anybody at that position, maybe ever. So, you know, it's unfair to put him in that conversation right now. But, you know, last year we saw the ability, and then as teams adjusted to him, you know, I've seen the frustration. We've seen him want to make those big plays, and when they're not there, it's sometimes hard for a playmaker to kind of run the system and take what's given to him. But I think he's done actually a better job of that at times. So up and down, yes, but still one of the guys that on any given day can beat a great team. We saw it against Dallas. We saw it in you know, a few poor performances this year that he is still lead, I think.
Eric, you have a lot of insight into the rest of the NFC East. Does it look like the Giants could potentially stumble in the next coming weeks? I mean, they have the Niners coming up this weekend. They face the Eagles, and they have a tough stretch with games against the Packers and the Saints. Does it look like that the Giants could stumble, opening up some room for the Eagles to get back in the race?
Yeah, I mean, historically, we look back, and every year Tom Coughlin's been there, they've been 5-2 or better. It's amazing to think that they've gotten out to good starts every year. They haven't always closed. So, that you know, historically, it's fair to raise the question, are they going to do it again this year? I thought last week was a big statement. I actually think they're going to go out west and give the Niners a real good fight, and I think they're actually going to beat them out there. So, you know, look at the Pittsburgh Steelers last year. I thought that it was important for them to go through that gauntlet of a schedule, and they played just about everybody, every tough team from last year, some losses, some wins, but in going through that schedule, you get battle-hardened, and that's the same kind of thing that the Giants had in 2007, so there's a good chance for them to win this division, there's no question, but that Eagles game still looms large. I still think that's going to be the pivotal game, assuming that Philly can win this weekend.
So while the Giants go west, the Arizona Cardinals come east to play the Eagles on Sunday, probably with John Skelton at quarterback. Do you see any way that the Eagles falter again at home against the Cardinals?
I really don't, and I know people are saying, yeah, but yeah, Skelton played okay last week. Yeah, the two safeties were inexcusable. It just seemed like a Dan Orlovsky-like moment right there a couple times. But with Beanie Wells banged up, their offensive line has been a mess, and I think they're going to really focus and harness that frustration that they weren't able to get to the quarterback against Jay Cutler and the Bears and really focus on beating up that Cardinals offensive line and getting after Skelton, making run stops behind the line of scrimmage. So, you know, defensively, I think they're going to make a good statement this weekend.
Eric Edholm, the senior writer for Pro Football Weekly, thank you very much for taking some time to join us here inside the studio on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Thank you.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee. Only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Hey Eagles fans, it's Brandon Graham. I'm gonna give you a tour of my locker. First off, we're gonna start with this. You gotta get this Nivea. You know, this the best smelling stuff for men, girls. That's what you get for your man. Got the first game I played in here, Eagles, you know, against the Packers. You know, I kept this, you know, kind of like motivation. Got old books, you know, I kept these. I meant to give them to my family, but, you know, this didn't happen. Been a little lazy. The Eagles helmet with a couple cards. You know, thanks, fans. Appreciate it. Somebody sent me these. You know, I got an old little Michigan pitcher. You know, Daryl Chapp got 55. I had to switch it up. You know, you got to have your coat just in case, you know, it's snowing or raining or something out there. Because, you know, it changes. You know, I know about the Michigan weather, so it's just like Philly. You know, I got my Eagle strength and conditioning shirt. That's what we wear when we in there. And baby powder. You got to be smelling fresh. Olive oil for the hair. Keeps it moisturized, you know, and shining. Got to do it for the waves. I got my player planner, thanks to the NFL Association, NFLPA. Cleats. I got my regular shoes I wear. Gotta have your flip-flops. You know, you got your little piece for your little mouthpiece. Fitted for the mouth. You know, perfect fit. That's what 54 shoulder pads look like. Got the little tail on the back. Got the helmet, you know. And, you know, that's pretty much it, Eagles fans. You know, this is my locker. And thank you for having me, taking
a tour of Brandon Graham's locker. Brandon played pretty well.
He did,
by the way.
And he played a little bit more than we expected him to, and I think he came out well for it.
Yes, said no pain in the knee, no soreness whatsoever. It was more in the shoulders and everywhere else from
the muscles you wouldn't have been using, yeah.
Exactly. So I think he played 20, 21 snaps, somewhere in that range. A couple pressures. There were a couple times where it looked like he's right there on Cutler, but Cutler, very elusive, good footwork in terms of being able to escape pressure, and it just haunted the Eagles' defense the entire game.
All right, C-Mac, are you ready?
I am ready. It's been a couple weeks for me, so.
Are you ready? The fans out there, because it is time, finally, for the inactive game. And let's see what we got. Seven players will not dress. Who will they be? Who do we think they will be? Let's check out our guesses. And it looks
like. Hopefully. Looks a lot like.
All right.
There we go.
We have the same ones. We matched up this week.
Same
independently submitted them, and we came up with the same guys now. Nate Allen, we're expecting, especially even if he is cleared to play with the concussion. He hasn't practiced this week.
Is not on the practice field today.
He's not on the practice field today.
Neither is Evan Mathis.
Neither is Evan Mathis, and he is one of the predictions there. Is Jaquay practicing?
No reports from the field that he is not. So okay. He might be out there, but it could be, again, a limited basis.
That's the
basis.
One where I think he may play. Phillip Hunt is going to be down, I think. Winston is going to be down because – and this means that for the first time this season, Julian Vandervelde will be active. He will beat Curtis Marsh.
Is it the first time?
I'm pretty sure. I think he and Marsh have not been active yet.
I thought there was one other one. One game where he was. I'm just going to...
Okay. And maybe he'll sing...
Incorrect.
Okay. So him and Marsh have not been active yet this week. We call this the Mike McGlynn Award after 2 years ago when he made 15 games and then was finally active in week 16 or week 17, the 16th game of the season. So Curtis Marsh, congratulations on your Mike McGlynn Award. But Julian Vanderbilt will be active for the first time. The only real question is whether Jacquay is going to play or not. And if he does, who else sits? Because I mean, you may dress 9 defensive linemen. It's possible.
Well, who would you? You're going to sit.
You could maybe
Graham?
Sit down. No.
Sit
yeah.
Tap.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, maybe
Landry. But Landry's played well.
No,
Landry's
probably played well.
I think you would put a linebacker down. Probably Keenan Clayton would go back down.
Oh, but do you want Clayton, who's played well in special teams, another big return guy?
Yeah, but they've shown that they don't really need him up.
Yeah. So that's the one area where you could definitely go there.
So, yeah, there you go. One player who will certainly not be inactive is LeSean McCoy. As we said before, leading the league in rushing. Scored 11 touchdowns this season, won in all 8 games. That is a franchise record tied with Steve Van Buren. He could break that record this week. And we talked to LeSean McCoy in the locker room to find out where his head is at ahead of the Cardinals game.
A little hollow to, I mean, you're putting up these world-class numbers and, you know, the team's 3-5. It's a little empty that you're having this, like, MVP kind of season. And, you know, I feel like you guys were 7-1. What's up?
Just to make sure I get your audio.
You know what I mean? Just that it's
just like, I guess, the feeling of like the stats, but not really.
Yeah.
I mean, the most important thing is, like you said, the wins. That's the biggest thing. So you don't really get wrapped up in things with stats and numbers. You know what I mean? If you're not winning the game, I think I look forward to going in to get the win, to get back on track, then going to the game where I need a buck 50,
right,
200 yards. You know what I'm saying? To compete with the other guys. So it's tough, man, because you always want to do well, you know, as an individual, but as a team, you know, that's the biggest goal about everything.
Will you be the type of guy who tries to get bigger? Because that's always the thing, like the bigger back. Yeah. And you've prided yourself on not having to be that big.
Yeah. Because I learned that speed in this league is key. Because the bigger guys, they do well, you know. But I think the best bigger guys are the guys that's bigger but fast. Like Adrian Peterson's huge, but he's fast. You know, he's fast. So I think just the quicker, the faster, you know, you are, the better. You know, because I don't really get hit as much. They can't grab me as much. They can't catch me, you know. So I think that's the biggest thing is the speed.
You talk about back, like we all know how all these backs like have like 3 or 4 great years and then they just,
mm-hmm.
I mean, it just seems to keep happening to guys. What can you do? Do you think to kind of, like you talk about wanting to have a long career and keep playing and yeah. You know, any idea what goes into that?
Just the small things, just you know, training hard. I think some guys get real complacent.
Mm-hmm.
They get happy with the production. You know, they don't work as hard. They don't train as hard. So things like that. You know, another thing is just the players around me. I mean, having a good line like I have this year, you know, and the skilled guys around me to keep the pressure off and the focal point off me. So things like that, I think, play a big role.
I thought that might be a reason why you wouldn't want to be as much of a receiver as they did with Brian, because that just, you know, that makes you more vulnerable to a lot more different style of hits.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I think that's exactly a little bit why Brian's career went downhill as fast. I mean, there was ankles, there was knee, then there was a concussion. I mean, a lot of those were on hits that he was catching passes. So I didn't know if maybe.
I mean, that too. I mean, I think you get hit harder kind of in the, with the D lineman.
And unexpected.
Line up a receiver, go across the middle.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's so many different, you know, things we can say, well, this happened, that happened, to kind of, you know, end guys' careers. But for the most part, you just gotta play. I mean, whatever's going to happen is going to happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess to prevent it. You know, I think it's just fewer carries and the pass and switch it up a little bit, especially with the weapons. I don't think I get hit as much because we got so many good players around me.
Yeah.
You know, so all the tension is not really on me.
The other thing is if you play till 30, that's like just off 10 years in. Yeah. Like where other guys play till 30, you got like 5-6 years in.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's a cool thing about it. So maybe I get the 10 in, 2 more, 3 more.
Mm.
All right.
Good.
Thanks.
Right. Hey, why is your brother has been real on Twitter on in big support of
Shady's even elusive with the reporters. See him trying to sneak off into the training room there.
You can't take him down one-on-one. That's the thing.
No, definitely can't. We're going to go back to the phone lines here. Glenn from Fort Lauderdale. We're pleased to have you here on Eagles Live. What's going on, Glenn?
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Great to hear
good,
from
how
you.
How you doing?
I'm all right, but I want to ask a question. You know, it's pretty basic, I guess. But, you know, I've been watching football a long time over my career. I don't have a career.
be have some sort of career.
I was going to say, what career?
I'm a professional fan. But what I don't understand is, why is it so hard for the Eagles this year? I don't know what to do with them. I mean, you line up your two best guys, they play, and that's that. I mean, it happens every week on every other team. Why is this such a big deal?
Well, first of all, I'll say that, you know, cornerback is probably the hardest position to play on the field. And these guys are adjusting to a new scheme. But certainly
that means for the guys, and they want to, like, you know, say, hey, come and get me out on the island.
Yeah, and certainly they've been disappointing, you know. But I think part of it is the scheme. I think part of it is maybe these guys are adjusting to new roles. Dominic Rogers Cromartie's never played the slot before. Nnamdi's never played so much zone. And maybe that's a good reason for maybe letting them play more man-to-man and moving Dominic on the outside. But then these three guys, somebody's going to be playing out of position because obviously they're all used to playing on the outside. It's a tough juggling game, and certainly we hope that they'll improve. It's only been half the season. But I don't think it's fair to say that it's been a little bit of a disappointment.
It's been a bit of a disappointment, and I'm just going to piggyback on what Bo is saying here, is that when usually if you had one star player, then you could say, let's build around that guy. If you had just Nnamdi Asamoah, you could say, what does Nnamdi do best and make everyone else funnel to there? But the thing is, you have on your defensive line Jason Babin and Trent Cole. Now in the secondary, you have Samuel, you have Asamoah, you have Rogers Cromartie. It's, you can't build it around one guy because everyone's strengths are going to be slightly different. So Juan is trying to find a system to mesh where everything is together. And I think and it seems like most of the time, the guys are the call is right. It's the execution from the players. And again, it's because they're getting used to the new roles, they're getting used to different schemes. That's where I think the problems come in.
But then you question if they can't execute that call, then is it the right call?
It's a fair question. It's a fair question. I mean, you practice it.
I've seen too where like DRC, when he was with the Cardinals, right?
Yes.
I've seen him have some games in the NFL, man, where, you know, you hear his name mentioned on SportsCenter and, you know, the same thing with Nnamdi. But it just seems like, I don't know, it doesn't seem like so hard to put these guys in a position and say, this is where you're playing, get the job done, and that's that. You know, you're an NFL player. And, I mean, what's his name? Even Osilio Hanson is better than them when he plays slot. I mean, he's a slot guy.
That's where, Glenn, I'm just going to cut you off right there, only because I think that's the one argument that's a real fair argument to make, is that you have a veteran in Hoselio who has been noted to be one of the better slot corners in the league. Why has he not been put on the field over Rogers Cromartie? And exactly. Juan said at his press conference yesterday that he believes Rogers Cromartie will develop and cultivate that talent and become one of the best nickel corners because his athleticism is off the charts. He's got the size. I mean, he's got all of the physical skill sets needed, but he's used to playing on one side of the field where he has to only worry about, okay, I got to make sure I keep the contain and funnel the guy in a certain direction. In the slot, the guy could go anywhere on the field, and you're dealing with a different type of receiver. You're dealing with a smaller guy, a quicker guy who's used to working in space. So it's one of those things where, yes, you want Rogers Cromartie, who you think is going to be the best down the line, to get the experience and the reps, but at the same time, you're losing games. Yep. So if you were 5-3 and maybe had a little bit of a cushion, you might not be as concerned. But because it's win now mode, what is the best move for the team?
Yeah, I understand it. It just seems like, man, in the NFL, I've never seen this problem where, I mean, this should be a coach's dream where, you know, he could say, hey, look,
great,
I got all these great guys. I could pick one and put them anywhere. But it's not that way. They're like, you know, I got to play this position and I got to play here. And, you know, they're trying to learn new stuff. I mean, I see Nnamdi trying to adjust to being moved around, and they want to make, Woodson? What's his name?
Yeah, Charles Woodson
role. Green Bay. Yeah, they want to have him play more of that role where he's the third corner running around. But whatever they're doing just isn't working, and maybe you just have to go back to basics. It's put two guys out there that can cover, and, you know, hey, we'll deal with the rest later.
It's tough because there's...
Maybe the egos are going to be hurt. I don't know.
Well, I don't... Not obviously Asante. I mean, he had his, you know, he voiced his displeasure over, you know, the whole trade situation, or, you know, a couple weeks back. So obviously you could say for him. I don't think with Dominic, I've seen him every single day here on off days. working out, trying to get in the film room, trying to get better. Namdi's been the consummate professional. I don't think he's a guy that, you know, seems to take it, take any bruised ego. I mean, he's a guy that relished the opportunity to do this. He wanted to take on the new challenges. And you saw in the game against Dallas, it seemed like it finally worked. And I remember asking Juan in the press conference before the Bears game, hey, have you guys turned a corner with Namdi? Is he finally, it seemed like very quietly, is he finally doing everything that you asked of him that you wanted him to do? And so 1 week it looks like it's all gravy, and the next week you see what happens with Earl Bennett and all the big third down conversions. So you figure with all that talent at the defensive line, all that talent in the secondary, you get teams in third and longs. And it wasn't so much that the Bears were 7-for-14 in third down conversions. I think 6 of the 7 were like a 5 yards or more. I mean, these aren't thirds and one, thirds and two. These are deep passes that they're exploiting the Eagles on these third downs. So, again, should maybe if Roger Cromartie had been pulled at some point during the game, I certainly could understand that argument. It's one of those questions that you certainly could ask. I know Joselio won't say
that.
I mean,
that's pretty good coverage there.
You know, but I think overall you would say Joselio's probably thinking, I could make some of these plays. I mean, I know how hard it is to play the nickel. I've done it for many years. It takes time to learn. You can't just be thrown in there in the short and off season and all of a sudden be expected to play a position you never have. So,
Glenn, you have a prediction for us?
Yeah, I mean, we got a backup quarterback in. We should be angry. We should be hungry. I'm thinking maybe 31-10.
31-10. We
right.
certainly
Good
could
stuff.
Use the
thanks
time.
For the call, Glenn.
Glenn, thank you very much. We're going to take a commercial break.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
No problem.
It's always great to hear from you, Glenn. We appreciate it. We're going to take this quick commercial break here on Eagles Live. Kent Summers from the Arizona Republic is going to join us on the other side right here on Eagles Live.
Empty backfield as Vic takes the snap. He's looking. He's being chased. He gets out of the way. He runs. He pumps. He fires. Touchdown!
I'm Michael Vick, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce to our fresh veggies to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better. Nobody does what Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
Forty years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Welcome Welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We're now going to go behind enemy lines, and we're pleased to be joined by Kent Summers from the Arizona Republic, who does an outstanding job covering the Cardinals. Kent, the first question I want to ask you is, who is going to start at quarterback? Is there any chance that Kevin Cobb suits up to play against his former team this Sunday?
I don't think so. He hasn't practiced in 2 weeks since suffering that injury in Baltimore a couple of Sundays ago. He's picked up the pace of rehab this week, but and I don't know about today. They're just going out on the field right now. But I just don't think so. I don't think they'll chance it, risking him playing when he hasn't practiced and having a setback that takes him out of even more action than he's already missed. So I think we'll see John Skelton for the second straight week.
Now, Kent, obviously we're pretty interested in how Kevin's been coming along. As he said, the backup quarterback is always the most popular guy in the city. But the team is 2-6 and four tough losses, less than 4 points. Do you get the sense that the Cardinals fans believe in Kevin Cobb as the quarterback moving forward?
No, they don't. I mean, they're still waiting for evidence that he's the answer here. And, you know, like I think is common in most NFL cities, you know, there have been a lot of people banging the drum for a change and to see John Skelton and, you know, and people criticizing the trade that, you know, the Cardinals gave up a Pro Bowl cornerback and a 2012 draft pick for a, you know, and not to mention $63 million in contract over 5 years for a guy who can't play. But, you know, that said, the Cardinals aren't down on Kevin Cobb. Yeah, they would have liked him to play better, no question. That's true of the whole team. But this is a long-term decision for them, and he's going to get more than this season to prove himself. And, they're not contemplating any changes, and this staff still seems 100% behind him.
Kent, the Cardinals are 2-6, and they're off to a struggling start here. But in that Baltimore game 2 weeks ago, even though that they lost the game, they gave the Ravens a serious scare. What were they able to do in that game that they have not been able to do throughout the course of the season?
Well, they played better defensively. You know, they had a strip, a sack and a strip of Joe Flacco that set up a touchdown. They, Patrick Peterson had another return for a touchdown. Their offense really didn't sustain any drives, but their defense played better until that second half than it had. So they seem to be a better defensively than they were over the first month, when there were lots of blown coverages and miscommunications and other things, I guess, that you would expect under a new system installed by Ray Horton. But, the thing that was common in that game is they couldn't hold a lead. You know, like the Eagles have blown leads in the fourth quarter, these guys have blown leads in the second half four times. And, they've been in it against some good teams. The Giants and the Ravens come to mind immediately, and they've blown it against some bad teams, the Redskins and the Seahawks come to mind. So it's kind of been the theme of the season for these guys. Their two-minute offense isn't very good. They can't march down the field and get that go-ahead drive, and their defense hasn't been very good at stopping other people from doing that.
As for Kevin, I guess one of the problems with him is that he's been a little jumpy in the pocket, they've said, and part of that obviously goes to the offensive line. This is an Eagles defensive line that has sacked the quarterback pretty well up until last week when they were shut out by the Bears, but they're pointing to an opportunity this week against the Arizona Cardinals offensive line that's been a little bit leaky. Talk about that offensive line and how they've performed this season.
Well, the weaknesses are on the edges, the two tackles. Levi Brown at left tackle just hasn't come anywhere close to living up to his draft status, fifth overall in 2007. He's not very good in pass protection. He gets consistently beaten. And the right side, at right tackle, they're not very good either, with Brandon Keith, a seventh-round pick 3 years ago. He struggled. He hasn't developed like they had hoped. He's played with a knee ailment, but still, you know, just I don't know if he's fully healthy, if he's that good. And they've replaced him a couple of times during games this year with Jeremy Bridges, who has been only marginally better. So, yeah, that's been a big part of Cobb's problem, is a lack of protection. I think just overall his discomfort in this offense, I think, has been a part of it. But the one thing this line has been able to do through much of the year, when they've been able to stay in games and when Beanie Wells, the running back, is healthy, is they have been able to run the ball. It's a fairly physical group when it comes to run blocking. And I think that's the whole key for this team, is to stay in the game and keep that as an option against Philadelphia. Teams have been able to run the ball against the Eagles. And, you know, I think Beanie Wells may be getting a little bit better from a knee ailment that's hindered him the past couple of weeks. And, well, when he was healthy over the first four games, he averaged over 100 yards a game and was very physical and pounded it against some good run defenses. So that's a big thing to watch on Sunday, I think.
Now, Kent, you mentioned it before. Obviously, the other part of that trade was Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie coming to the Eagles, the Pro Bowl cornerback with the Cardinals. You tweeted a couple interesting things yesterday about some remembrances of Dominique and the character he was in Arizona. What do you remember about him and what do his teammates remember about him?
Well, he's one of the funnest guys that I've ever covered. I mean, I really like the guy, and he's fun to talk to because I think he, you know, there's no filter on his mouth. He'll say whatever he's feeling, but a unique character. I mean, he painted his toenails black from time to time around here. He walked around with little kids' backpacks on, Dora the Explorer or Toy Story. And he admitted to me one time he carries, you know, sometimes he has crayons and coloring books in there. You know, he constantly was dancing in the locker room. His teammates liked him a lot. You know, the problem was he was about that mature when it came to his approach to the game. He admittedly wasn't a guy who studied. He admitted his concentration tended to wander in it. It showed up on the field, especially last season. He was beaten a lot, and he looked a lot like in 2010, like he's looked with the Eagles in 2011. And that said, he's got all the physical ability in the world. I mean, he's one of the fastest players in the league, and, you know, at the end of his rookie year and into 2009, you know, he was just an excellent cover corner. Not that he'd like to tackle. He hates it, and he'll shy away from contact at any point, but he could really cover receivers. And, you know, if anybody can ever find the switch to really get him to concentrate game in and game out, I think they'll have a special player. But I also think that's an enormous task to ask of anyone.
Kent, last question, we'll let you get going here. The Cardinals have to fly all the way to the East Coast here to Philadelphia, but they're not even getting to stay in Philadelphia because of a doctor's convention. Is there sort of a sense of disappointment or any kind of buzz about the fact that they have to stay in Wilmington, Delaware?
only among the guys here with Philadelphia connections, or maybe a little griping about a bus ride. But no, there's not a lot of buzz about it. You know, there may be over the weekend when they spend, you know, Friday and Saturday in Wilmington, and they could be in downtown Philadelphia. But I haven't heard any of that. So it's a different trip logistically for them, but it hasn't been made into a huge deal here.
Kent Summers from the Arizona Republic, thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Rico.
We wanted to show Eagles fans what it's like watching their favorite team on Xfinity. So we went into Lincoln Financial Field and gave them the best seats in the house. If you want the Eagles, you want Xfinity, your home for the most live sports.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Vic gives to McCoy. First down and more. 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. McCoy in for the touchdown. A 49-yard touchdown run by Shady McCoy.
Hi, I'm LaShawn McCoy, and you're watching Eagles Live on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
At the end of the day, you can't fool people. Nothing sells like the truth. From our fresh pack sauce, to our fresh veggies, to our 100% fresh dough, never frozen, at Papa John's, we believe fresh is better.
Nobody does, but Papa John's does.
Carry out a large one-topping pizza for only $7.99. That's a large Papa John's pizza with your choice of one topping for only $7.99. Carry out only.
Everything's better when Papa's in the house. Better ingredients, better pizza, Papa John's.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Great stuff there from Ken Summers of the Arizona Republic. And on this Veterans Day, we have four tickets to give away to the Eagles-Cardinals game, so we figure there's got to be a little way to kind of mesh everything together. The call 2709 with the correct answer. We'll get the four tickets for this Sunday's game. And the question is, Chuck Bednarik is having a statue dedicated in his honor at Franklin Field on November 19th. On this Veterans Day, which branch of the armed forces did Concrete Charlie serve in? Let's read a little Jeopardy music to kind of...
First person to call in with the correct answer gets four tickets to the game on Sunday.
And hopefully bring
four tickets. What a deal.
Bring some good luck, and hopefully we'll get the Eagles win and get things back on track here as they'll try to resurrect themselves in the second half of the season. So we already got the phone calls coming in here. Our man Colin is manning the line, so we'll see if this is going to end pretty quickly here. So hopefully we'll have those tickets to give away. But we're also going to hear from head coach Andy Reid. Do we have a look inside the auditorium? I wonder if practice could conclude within the next 10, 15 minutes or so here, preparing for Arizona. See, no activity going on right now in the auditorium, but we're going to bring that to you live. Really, injury news.
Nate Allen,
Evan Jaquay. Mathis, yeah. Jaquay. Those are the big things that you're going to hear. Outside of that,
is Jaquan going to start?
Jaquan start. I mean, if Nate Allen's not playing, then
right.
You know, even Juan was point blank. Jaquan's been taking the reps in practice this week. So,
all right, let's find out if we have a winner here. We have Sam from Quebec. Sam, wow. Bonjour.
We have a winner here. We have Sam.
Hold on.
Oh, turn your sound down, Sam.
Sam, please turn. Can you turn your speakers down on your end? It's a delay, so.
Sure. Sorry about that.
No problem.
All right.
Yes. You got an answer?
Which branch of the armed forces?
The U.S. Air Force.
Sorry, Sam.
Sam, good try.
It would have been tough for you to go to the game anyway from Quebec, I suppose. But
Quebec,
but good effort. Do you have a prediction for the game?
I love the Eagles. I've been to the Buffalo game. So I'm okay with that. I say 42-7.
Okay.
42-7. Thank you very
Thanks
much.
Thanks for
Sam.
The call, Sam.
Great having fans from Canada. Come on.
We have the French fans from Quebec.
And you love the anthem.
I do love the Canadian national anthem. I want, this has been my goal since the draft, I want Julian Vanderbilt to serenade Danny Watkins with the Canadian national anthem. What's so far-fetched about that?
Nothing.
Vanderbilt sang the American national anthem when President
singer.
Barack Obama was there.
Yes.
He could sing the Canadian one, serenade Danny Watkins. Maybe we'll set that up for Valentine's Day. So, all right, Brandon from Virginia, your shot.
Brandon.
In which branch of the military did Chuck Bednarik serve for four tickets to the game on Sunday? What do you got?
Are you there, Brandon?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I just want to say one thing. I'm an Eagle. Yes, I am. I just want to say one thing. I'm an Eagles fan. Just recently moved from Philly, you know, because I was having some problems at home. But I just want to say go Eagles. And, you know, everybody who has, you know, less hope on the Eagles and everything because of the situations they've been having, I'm just realizing that, you know, it takes time to gel. It takes time to bring a team together. And, I mean, everybody's just got to have hope on the Eagles. There is the United States Marines.
Brandon.
Sorry, Brandon.
Do you have a prediction for the game?
27-7.
27-7. Brandon, thank you very much. Again, we have the prediction game, so if you call and you're not able to get the tickets for a game this Sunday, if the Eagles win, if the Eagles lose, there's got to be a bunch of things that happen. Bottom line, Eagles win this Sunday. If you're the closest to the correct score, we're going to give you an autographed football, so still a chance to win here. So we're 0-2, so hopefully third time's the charm. This is the third game of the Eagles homestand here in a row, so hopefully they'll be able to we'll get the next caller on here to be able to win it. And who is the person that we have now?
Jamie from Harrisburg.
Jamie, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How you doing? You want these tickets?
I would love those tickets.
All right. What do you got?
Is it true he was part of the Army Air Corps?
Yes. Oh, specifically gets it too.
That sounds like a Google, but we'll give it to you anyway.
I don't care if it's a Google or not. No. Jamie, great job. Congratulations.
Congratulations,
to you.
Jamie.
Certainly.
Awesome. Thanks.
Round up your buds. Four tickets.
Who are you bringing? Who are you going to bring to the game now?
I'm bringing my little boy. He hasn't been able to make it to a game this year, so we're going to take him.
How old?
He's seven.
Seven? First great. Game or no?
Well, he was there last year for that Vikings game that was supposed to be a Christmas present, so hopefully we'll make up for this one, right?
Oh, yeah, please. Hopefully. Please win.
Should be much better weather for this one, too.
Better weather, better outcome, hopefully, so certainly.
Better pizza, Papa John's.
Exactly. Jamie, congratulations. Hold on to the line. Colin's going to take your information, and we'll get you the tickets for the game this Sunday, so great to give away the tickets there. We
also
have.
It's easier. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if you didn't get the tickets, didn't get to call in, we do have a photo contest that we're holding on Eagles Nightly. If you send us a photo to our at Eagles Insider account with the hashtag Eagles Nightly, the best fan photo, we have two tickets that we're going to give away on tonight's show. So send in your photos now. Fran Duffy, one of our outstanding producers for the show, has been going through the photos. Do we have one that deserving of a winner yet, or
we got a couple good ones? So it's got to be good to win.
Couple contenders, but no bona fide winners just
millions
yet,
of
so.
Entrants. Yeah.
So hopefully, start sending in your photos. We see the timeline starting to explode there a little bit. So again, at Eagles Insider, use the hashtag Eagles Nightly. Send us your best fan photo. We got two tickets that we're giving away to the game on tonight's Eagles Nightly, which will be hosted by Dave Spadaro.
Yep. Let's take a quick break now so Jamie can give us his information and collect his tickets, and then we'll be back on the other side, talk a little bit more about this Eagles game, and then we'll hear from Andy Reid about the injury report.
Opportunity is knocking at your door. Opportunity knocks but once and don't come back no more. Grab it in the night, grab it in the day, grab it right now, it'll get away. You better snatch and grab it, snatch and grab it.
Buy and sell tickets safely and securely at NFL.com Ticket Exchange.
Hi, I'm Tammy Reid, wife of Eagles head coach Andy Reid. And we're the Eagles Women's Association. Each year for many families, Thanksgiving means football and lots of food. But as the Eagles family joins together, some families will be less fortunate. To help fight hunger in our area, the Eagles Women's Association is teaming up with the Philadelphia Eagles for our annual food drive, benefiting Philabundance. This year's collection is scheduled for November 13th, when the Eagles take on the Arizona Cardinals. We're asking fans to bring non-perishable foods to the Cardinals game and drop them in collection bins on their way into the stadium. Thanks to everyone who donated last year. And let's try to make this year's collection, everyone,
the best yet!
Are you?
Yeah, in about 15 years.
I just want to commend you for sitting in coach.
Why?
Well, you're saving, but you still need some financial advice. We need a plan to help protect and grow our money throughout our life.
Retirement isn't the finish line.
Where are you going?
Back to first class. We can afford it now.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
PhiladelphiaEagles.com has you covered for every touchdown, every big hit, and every big play of this 2011 season with the kickoff show, the halftime report, and our post-game show presented by Ricoh.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to eibandme.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
Is crossing the finish line the best way to start the season? We think so. Give them a running start with the brands they want at an unbeatable value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good. Official sporting goods retailer of the Philadelphia Eagles.
All right, welcome back to Eagles Live here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Congrats to Jamie from Harrisburg for winning the four tickets to Sunday's game. And just to give an example of the great photos that we're receiving in our At Eagles Insider Eagles Nightly Twit Pick Contest, this one comes from K.A. Gammon. And let's see if we can get that photo up there on the screen. And it's a nice little collection there. You got the helmet, the football, sort of the Eagles fan cave,
sure,
so to speak. So
I like the Deshaun Miracle at the New Meadowlands.
Certainly.
There.
That's a must. That's an absolute must-have photo right there. So great little collection there. That's one of the contenders. So certainly still plenty of time before tonight's show to send in your photos. Again, we'll pick the best one, and that person will get two tickets to Sunday's game between the Eagles and the Cardinals. And if you are coming to the game, it is the Sacking Hunger Food Drive that the Eagles Women's Association are working in conjunction with Philabundance. So please bring your non-perishable and canned good items, because there are going to be a lot of needy people. They're going to be looking for food this holiday season. Thanksgiving is really not that far away. So please make sure you bring some items to the game this Sunday.
Absolutely. Sounds like we got another caller on the line. I think Brandon from Virginia called back. Brandon.
Hey, how you doing, Bo and Chris?
What's up, Brandon?
Good. How you doing?
One more question.
Yeah, of course.
Chris, I know you're a big football man and everything, and I know you are with the stats and everything.
He is a big man.
Bo's a football man in his own right. Don't sell Bo short.
I'm a sarcastic little man.
But here's the question. What do you think about Asante Samuels? We know that Asante Samuels is a zone cornerback, and he makes plays on the ball by looking at the quarterback. The question I have is, don't you think Andy Reid should put him in the nickel position? Because mainly that position is a position that you all see a lot of zone played in. And then stick DRC on the right corner spot, I believe, where Asante Samuels is playing. Because, I mean, the scheme is built for man anyway, isn't it? So wouldn't that produce more sacks? That's my question.
I had wondered, when they were first kind of figuring the alignment in the season, who would be the more suitable guy to put inside there. But I feel like with his propensity to want to line up, because he likes to line up 6-7 yards off the ball, typically off the line of scrimmage, typically. He wants to be able to look in at what the quarterback's doing. He wants to be able to read the routes. I just feel like there would be too much going on in a too short period of time, and I think teams would be able to take advantage of that. The one thing that I think would help Asante generate more turnovers, because, again, this is the guy who's led the conference in interceptions in each of the last two seasons. You're not seeing the production from an interception standpoint this season. I think it's from the blitzing. Now, I know Juan Castillo is not going to have a blitzing-type defense. Maybe we're going to see some more of it, you know, especially if teams are starting to play more max protect against them. But needless to say, he's the type of guy who likes to be able to take advantage of those hot reads. You know, he knows when quarterbacks are going to try to go for that quick hitch there. I think that's why he's the best suited for where he is. He's comfortable on that side of the field. He knows how teams operate on offense. Obviously, there's the concerns where, you know, there's times where, like, on third downs, he's lying too far off the guy and they could do a quick slant. Yeah, he does that from time to time. But quite honestly, he's actually lined up and he's been playing some press more so in the last couple of weeks than he had been earlier in the season. The one time you wish he had done it was on that red zone touchdown to Earl Bennett, where even Bennett admitted after the game, they knew that he liked to line up off the line of scrimmage. They knew he liked to look in to see what the quarterback's doing, and they caught him peeking, and Bennett was able to get behind him for the touchdown.
Asante, I think, is actually the least suited of the three cornerbacks to play inside, without question. Nickel is probably the most physical of the positions. Asante, as you said, likes to lay off, and he's also guessing, and you have less time to guess when you're inside because the ball gets there quicker. So I do disagree that he would be the guy to go inside. He's the best suited for the outside. And then watching the replay of Asante coming in off the field makes me wince again, because officially announced as a groin laceration for the reason he left the game.
So ouch. Here's the question. Do you think possibly then on third down, maybe? I mean, I understand on third down, like third and long situations, you would put him in the nickel position? I mean, because I understand that that's the physical spot to play. But, I mean, on short yard situations, I think the physical is more necessary. But on deep plays, isn't Asante most best used in those situations when he can step back you know, 5-10 yards and get a good look at the quarterback.
I don't think so, Brandon. I think Asante belongs on the outside, and I think he's going to stay there.
And I think that's why you see Roger Cromartie struggling, because you're used to having that boundary on the side of you to kind of play into your favor, and now you have to worry about, you know, guys could go two different directions. There'd just be a lot more to comprehend, and you know,
true, I agree.
And at this point in the season, you're already having enough guys trying to get adjusted to new positions. It's just not no reason to try to confuse the guys even more so at this point.
Thank you for the call, though, Brandon.
No, we appreciate it.
Well, you know what? Go Eagles, and let's stay in there with these Eagles.
Yeah, no, we appreciate the support, Brandon. Thank you very much again for the phone call. No, it's, you know, it's what can be done with his defense. I mean, you look to, it looks like the reporters are starting to file into the auditorium, so it looks like Andy Reid will probably be coming up very shortly here. It's one of those things where you look at last year's defense, and there seemed to be times where there was confusion and things along.
Andy Reid.
Oh, never mind.
At the podium.
Sneak it in there.
All right, real quick on injuries. Nate Allen is listed as out, as is Evan Mathis. Everybody else practiced and did well. JP looked like he's doing okay, and then we'll just check on him. He's listed as questionable on the list. We look forward to the challenge of playing the Arizona Cardinals, and they've got a good football team. Ken Wisenhunt's done a nice job with that crew, and I look forward to bringing him in here. Time's yours.
With Nate, what are we looking at here? Do you have any idea? Is there?
Well, you know, we're on a short week, so that I think that comes into effect here. I think he'll be all right, you know, this next week. But I just he's not ready yet. So,
what level of the testing has he gone through so far?
Gone through testing, yeah. He's gonna have to keep doing it. So he wasn't able to pass the test.
You have some options there at left guard, but you went with a guy who hasn't played guard and doesn't really kind of look like a prototype guard. Just talk about why King as opposed to Vandervelde or Jamal.
Well, what people, I mean, you guys know because you've been out of practice, but King's worked in there throughout training camp and now, you know, throughout the season. Howard mixes and matches those guys all over the place. So what seems a little strange, I think, to people, but to the guys, the offensive linemen, they're all familiar with him, and he jumps in and he's okay there. So a smart guy that has some game experience, playing experience. So although it's not at that position, but really doesn't matter. So he'll be fine.
It doesn't look like that Kevin's going to play quarterback for them. It doesn't look like he's going to play. But if you guys spend any time worrying or looking at if he does play, or if you spend most of your time with Skelton?
Well, we've looked at both guys. So we – you have to, but I probably think that Skelton's going to play as opposed to Kevin. But that's a, you know. But we have taken time to make sure we understand both of them.
Do they change much? Is it that big of a difference offensive?
What they're doing? No, not really. I mean, you know, he's been there for a couple of years, so he knows their system. I think they feel comfortable with him being in there and knowing what to do.
Earl obviously is one of the top receivers in the league. What do you have to do to contain a guy like that?
Well, you got to cover him. I mean, that's the obvious. He's a heck of a player. You give him too much space, and obviously he can make a lot of plays. So you've, and I mean, it's simple as form. You've got to make sure that you know where he's at. And he's not the only one they have, but he's a great player.
So the season, the touches LeSean gets each game, and does that factor in the following week's decision, how much he used as you get deeper into the season?
Yeah, well, we do. I mean, we keep track of it, and both in the run game and the pass game, and number of snaps included. So, and then we make sure we talk with him, we talk with Rick, and make sure he's doing okay. But we feel comfortable also with the other two guys. So. You saw Ronnie had a nice run, and Deion's had a nice run. So we feel comfortable with them both in the run and the pass game now. And so as the season goes on, you probably see a little bit more of them. But LeSean is healthy and doing well.
How do you think he does as far as protecting himself at the end of runs and kind of making that decision whether to take on more contact or just end the play?
I think he does a good job. You know, he tries to get as small as he can, like the good running backs do that. They that are his size. They want to get the extra yards, but at the same time, you've got to narrow your body a little bit so that you don't take the giant hits. You know, that some of these guys, the bigger guys, can give you. And he's good with that. He's got quick feet, which help. He can run low to the ground, which can help, which also helps. He's not a high target to hit.
Make of Michael Vick's numbers for the first half of the season. They aren't probably what you'd hoped for and what he did last year.
Yeah, listen, I really don't get caught up in all that, Les. I mean, what we do is we just keep working, and are there throws you'd like to have back? Yeah, there are throws you'd like to have back, but I don't get into that. What we try to do is, as coaches, and we need to do a better job with this, is make sure that we're giving him his best stuff, and we're smart with that, you know, that we're being smart with that. So, and then Michael needs to do his part, and that's how this thing works. So everybody, receivers have to make sure they're doing their part, and so on.
That he needs to do, or that you'd like to see him do better?
I need to keep playing. Just keep doing, being Michael Vick. That's the important thing.
If you've been following at all, but do you have any thoughts about Joe Paterno being removed at all? About, you know, his legendary figure in this town and in the state.
I really haven't followed it that close. I mean, I've been pretty consumed with what we're doing here. So I really don't. I mean, I don't have a comment on it.
How's Coach Shortage held up? I mean, obviously, it's home with him a little bit more.
Yeah, he seems to be doing well. I can't tell you that he hasn't thought about it himself. You know, he's got a son that plays there, and he played there, and so Penn State's pretty close to his heart. You know, so I'm sure he's put some thought into it.
Andy, when John Sandusky worked for you guys, was his dad ever here? Was he ever at any practices, or was he ever around?
Yeah, no, he came. Yeah, he came by.
Did he have kids with him? I mean, I don't know if it's something you would remember, but I mean,
I don't remember all that. No, I remember him as John's dad. You know, that's what I remember him as. And he had been a coach, and that's how I remember him. John's a good kid. He worked for me here, and good kid. Well,
are you as surprised as maybe everyone else that this kind of happened with a legendary? You know, a legendary guy at Penn State, a legendary defensive coordinator, and things of that nature.
Listen, I don't know the whole thing. I'm not sure any of us know the whole thing, so I'm not gonna sit here and comment on it. It's not my place to do that, and I really haven't followed it. I've got everything I need to do right here, and make sure that we're doing the right things, you know, to get ready for this game.
Weren't you one of the honorary board members on that second mile? Are you still on it, or?
I don't think anybody's on it any longer. I didn't realize that there was that board, but that's beside the point. I did do a couple events for them, and it was a positive experience with the people that I was with, and so I don't know how all that works. Yeah.
Was on there as an honorary member?
Well, I didn't until I was informed by Rick, but I think that's how Derek. I think that's how those things work, though. When you do charity things, sometimes they'll use your name. I think that's a common thing. So,
whoever. Did you have it taken off then?
Well, they took everybody's name off. Yeah, so everybody's name has been removed. So.
Okay.
So there you have it. Andy Reid addresses the media. State Eagles will be without two starters on Sunday. Nate Allen not going to play after he has not yet passed.